seeking the Lord's help and your prayerful attention, I direct you to the prophecy of Zephaniah chapter 2 and the 7th verse. The book of Zephaniah chapter 2 and verse 7. And the coast shall be for the remnant of the house of Judah. They shall feed thereupon in the houses of Ascalon, shall they lie down in the evening, for the Lord their God shall visit them and turn away their captivity. The prophecy of Zephaniah chapter 2 and verse 7, and the coast shall be for the remnant of the house of Judah. They shall feed thereupon in the houses of Ascalon, shall they lie down in the evening, for the Lord their God shall visit them and turn away their captivity. This is a very solemn and searching chapters found in this prophecy of Zephaniah, and yet there are in the verses those blessed words of hope to his dear people. Now, just a few things in leading up to the text. We read together solemnly in this first chapter how the Lord was to send solemn judgment upon Judah and the inhabitants of Canaan, which many of the Philistines were occupying at that time. And because of all the hardness and rebelliousness of those that dwelt in the land, and because of all their sin, the Lord was to pour solemn judgment forth. And we read, didn't we? I will utterly consume all things from off the land, saith the Lord. I will consume man and beast. I will consume the fowls of the heaven and the fishes of the sea and the stumbling blocks with the wicked. And I will cut off man from off the land, saith the Lord. And you know, when we think of the solemn state of our nation today, you know, really there's much to make us tremble. Because if the Lord were to pour forth the same judgment as he did upon the land here, that's couched in this word, what solemn things will come upon this land. But the wonderful mercy was, though the remnant of Judah, many of them, were in captivity in Babylon, but the Lord was going to bring them back to the land of their nativity and the land of promise. And in our text we find how wonderfully the Lord was to be pleased to do it. You see, all the land, especially around the coastland, of in those days there was desolation. The inhabitants had been removed by God. Destruction had come upon the houses and the ports. And as we read just now how he was brought to bring the solemn things upon the, not only upon man, but upon beasts, and even upon the fowls of heaven, and too upon the fishes of the sea. So their whole livelihood was to be cut off, and they were to perish. And these things, you know, are left on record as solemn warnings. And these things will be solemn warnings to the end of time, or the time man is upon the earth. But the blessed thing was, the Lord was to appear. Who for? Well, our text tells us, the coast shall be for the remnant of the house of Judah. Now, there are two vital things here. First of all, the house of Judah. If you look right through God's holy word, and I won't suggest we do it tonight, but at your leisure, you look through the holy scriptures and how the Lord was to wonderfully bless the house of Judah. The blessings of the house of Judah were next to the blessings of the house of Joseph. The Lord was going to wonderfully bless them. And we find it here that it was this particular house of Judah and the remnant of it that was to know this blessing. And of course the dear Lord Jesus was of the house of Judah. And you can go back to Genesis, that the scepter shall not depart from Judah, nor the lawgiver from between his feet, until Shiloh come, and unto him shall the gathering of the people be. And that blessed Shiloh was none other than the Lord Jesus. And you know, when the wise men went to Herod, when the star appeared and they were to go to Bethlehem, we find that Herod, what did he do? He called all the prophets and the priests together to inquire where Christ should be born. And we read, and they said unto him, in Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet, O Beth, and thou Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, art not the least among the princes of Judah, for out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people Israel. And then, of course, you can go to the Revelations and find how it speaks of the Lion of the tribe of Judah. And, of course, the Lion is the King of the beasts, and the dear Lord Jesus is the King of his people, the Lion of the tribe of Judah. Now he says here, and so that is the first thing we need to lay to heart this evening. The vital thing is, of course, are we amongst that tribe, that favoured few? And of course, if you read in Genesis 49 of the blessing that the Lord gave to Moses to speak to the tribe of Judah. And then you can go into Deuteronomy 33, where we find that fourfold blessing of the tribe of Judah. But to look at this word, and the coast shall be for the remnant of the house of Judah. This people, you see, were to possess this land that had been so desolate, but now was to be made a prosperous land. But the second thing I was just going to remind you of was the remnant. There would be but a few. Not a great company, but a remnant. And really, when we look around today and think of the great population of this country, we know not where the Lord's dear children are. 'Tis true, the Lord does. But for the most part, there's a remnant that just seek the Lord and serve Him. It's a small number. A remnant is a small amount. And when you think of the Lord's dear children throughout this land and throughout the earth, it is but a remnant. But the hymn writer said, one of that remnant may I be, now and through eternity. And you know, that'll be the desire of every true-born child of God, to be found among that remnant. This was the desire the Lord put in the heart of Ruth, didn't he? Entreat me not to leave thee or to return from following after thee. She wanted to be found among the remnant that served the Lord. Thy people shall be my people, and thy God my God. So may these two things really concern us tonight, that we may be among the house of Judah, and too, among the remnant of them, the favoured few. But then he promised them some wonderful things, really. Firstly, they shall feed thereupon. In this land that had been full of desolation, no growth, no prosperity, a barren land, but now he was to feed them there. Not only with the provisions of food and raiment naturally, but too with the food of heaven. Man doth not live by bread only, but by every word that proceedeth from the mouth of the Lord doth man live. And they were to be a people that the Lord fed. It's a wonderful thing, isn't it, to be fed? You think a little babe, the difference in it when it is fed. It's filled with milk and satisfied. You think of the blessing, thinking about it spiritually, the Lord gave to Naphtali, satisfied with favour and full of the blessing of the Lord. It was such a contrast between this barren land and the shores of it that were so barren, but now they were to be fed there. The Lord was going to cause the crops of the earth to grow. He was going to cause the wheat and the barley in the field to bear fruit. And he was to cause them to feed upon the fruits of the land. And let us remember, these that were to return, we want to look at that returning in a moment, but you see, had been in a hostile land, a barren place in Babylonish captivity, held in chains and fetters, in other words. But now they can return, and oh, the blessing there was there. But let's look at it spiritually a little. You know, there's much hunger for the world today, isn't there? Man by nature hungers for the world, hungers for sport, hungers for pleasure. They feed on it. And so do we by nature. But with the child of God, the new man of grace, Christ in the sinner, form there the hope of glory. They want more than the things of this earth. They want heavenly food. There's a good prayer, you know, Solomon uttered, wasn't it? When he said, feed me with food convenient for me. And oh, how wonderfully the Lord feeds his dear children, whether they be young in the way, whether they be the established aged saint, he can still feed them. There are times when we have a few crumbs, aren't there, from the master's table. There are the times where he'll bring the sinner into the banqueting house, where they can feed upon their dear Redeemer. I often think of that word I've told you before concerning one's own experience of it. I have meat to eat that ye know not of. You think of the dear Saviour when he uttered that. The food he needed came from his beloved Father in heaven. And I remember when I was exercising my teenage days concerning the sacred ordinances of the Lord's house, I had such a hunger for the Word of God, and such a hunger as I went to the house of God to hear the dear servants of God preach. And I used to go home for my dinner at dinner time, and my mother said, you don't want to eat much. And I said to her once, you know, I have meat to eat that ye know not of. And I didn't enlarge on it any more than that. But you see, the Lord was feeding me from his word, feeding me under the ministry, feeding me and the blessed views and suitability of the dear Lord Jesus upon his sufferings, upon his death. It's food to the living soul, and it will be right down to thy dying. The world knows nothing of it, because all they have is the hunger for the things of this world. What did Jeremiah say? Thy word was found. Many find the word, but do we come in with him further? Thy words were found, and I did eat them. And they were unto me the joy and rejoicing of my heart. It's a wonderful word, you know. Jeremiah, you think of all the sorrow and darkness that he passed through and the times he was in when he was in prison. But the Lord fed him. Oh, he did. With heavenly provender. And that nourished his soul, you see. We eat food, don't we, for the nourishment of our bodies, naturally. And the real child of God can feed upon heavenly provender that nourishes their soul. And this is what makes them healthy in the things of God. But I must hasten. They shall feed thereupon. They ain't going to go anywhere else. They were to feed in that place where the Lord had brought them out of Babylonish captivity, placed them back in their own land, and it was to be a feeding ground where they were to be fed, and the Lord was to feed them. In the houses of Ashkelon shall they lie down in the evening. It was a place of rest. We read, didn't we, in the lesson, how, and it was exceedingly solemn really, that Ashkelon was a desolation. But now this is the place where the Lord was to feed them. And they could rest. They could rest. It was so different than what they'd been used to, wasn't it? In Babylon, in their captivity, shut up, bound. There was no rest there. They couldn't rest. They were in a foreign land. But oh, there's a wonderful rest for the child of God. And you see, it's like if you go away on holiday or go away for a season, it's nice to go back home and to go in your own bed and rest, isn't it? You may have a comfortable bed away, but you know, there's nothing like our own bed to rest in. And there you can rest, you see. And think of them here. They couldn't rest in Babylon. In all the captivity they were in, but now he brings them back and he feeds them. And there they can rest in Ashkelon. In the evening. Lie down in the evening to rest. Not only naturally. That was so. There's no doubt they toiled hard to bring the land once again into prosperity where it had been desolate. You know, if you would take over a piece of ground that's been laid waste for some years, you'd work hard, wouldn't you, to get it to bear fruit, destroying the rubbish, taking it all away, clearing it out, tilling the land, and then at the end of the day you'd feel very weary, wouldn't you? You'd appreciate rest. There's no doubt, naturally speaking, looking at it like that, in the evening they needed that rest. But let us look at it in something else. In another way, they needed rest in their souls. Oh, they did. I think if I remember rightly, one's memory is not what it once was, but I think if I remember rightly, I mentioned on Lord's Day about the dove. She went to and fro in the earth, didn't she? While the waters covered the universe, and she found no rest, but she had a place where she could rest, and that is in the dear Lord Jesus. In the ark, the weary dove found a welcome resting place. Thus my spirit longs to prove rest in Christ, the ark of grace. There may be those of you tonight tossed around by sin, tossed around by Satan. You got no rest. But there is this blessed resting place for sinners. And the dove knew what it was to enter into that ark, you know. Often think of the love Noah showed when he took her in. He put forth his hand, didn't he, to that dove. And he took her in. And that's what the Lord will do with his dear people when they need rest. He'll put forth his hand and his arms of love and he'll take them in. And they can rest in him. What do we sing? When thy eye of faith is dim. And it often is, isn't it? Rest thou in Jesus. Sink or swim. Blessed resting place in the dear Redeemer, isn't it? What did he say? Come unto me, all ye that labour and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. He's promised to give it, and he did to these dear people. The houses of Ashkelon, shall they lie down in the evening? They could rest there. But then I must go further. He says, for the Lord, their God, shall visit them. You know, really, this word of this verse, which so rested upon me last evening, is full of divine promises. You can go back through the chapters as we read them this evening, all the sorrows there were, but in it all, there's this beautiful verse and a few others where there is so much encouragement to the child of God. For the Lord, their God, shall visit them, shall visit them. Let me ask you this question, my own heart too. Do you need the Lord to visit you? You know, if you really love a person, like, you know, there are those we love naturally because of the ties of nature, but there are those we love too spiritually because of the wonderful union there is between our souls and them. And when they come and visit us, it encourages us, doesn't it? It does us good. And think about it spiritually. When Jesus, with his mighty love, visits my troubled breast, my doubts subside, my fears remove, and I'm completely blessed. When he visits us, you see. When was the last time the Lord visited you? Well, let's put it like this. Do we desire that he visits us? Lord, do visit me. We think of dear Jeremiah going back to the dear man when a time when he was in prison, and what did the Lord put in his heart to pray? That the Lord would visit him. And you know the Lord did visit him in those prisons, didn't he? Just as he did John Bunyan in Bedford Jail. I've been by that jail many, many times over the years. And I've often thought of the dear man, you know, how the Lord visited him there. The Lord knew where he was. The Lord knew all the circumstances that surround him, but the Lord visited him there. Oh, he did. And once you've had a visit from Zion's King, you're wanted again. The hymn writer said, didn't he, more frequent let thy visits be, or let them longer last. I can do nothing without thee. Make haste. O God, make haste. And is your prayer then that he would visit you? By the day I come, poor soul, if that's your fervent prayer, when he do well. And here you see these dear people. He was to visit them there. This land, and let us ever remember what it had been like. Absolutely desolate. Barren. But now, the Lord was to wonderfully feed them there. And to give them rest. And to visit them. To encourage their souls, you see. And do we not need those visits? But of course there is the solemn side to this. And I remember the late Mr. Leslie Rowell preaching from it at Tenterden many years ago. A Sunday school anniversary in the evening, he preached of how the Lord visits his people in solemn judgment and solemn death. And you see, so his visits, though they be precious to the child of God, sometimes they're solemn. Oh, they are. And I remember the dear man saying that there was a family that he knew, and suddenly they were full of sorrow. I don't think they ever attended a place of worship, but he said they were a nice family. But he said, you know, suddenly sorrow came upon them. And he said, I inquired what it was, and the Lord had visited that family by taking their father from them in a moment of time. And you know, these things, you see, come home very close, the visits of the Lord. But oh, may we know those special visits when he visits us with his eternal love. With his pardoning love, with the blessings of heaven. You read through the Old Testament how many times the Lord visited Abraham, visited Isaac, visited Jacob, and think of how he visited Joseph even in the prison. And may we know those precious visits of Zion's King. But just a brief word and I must leave it. He says this, and turn away their captivity. There may be those of you tonight that have many things that bind you and shut you up, and you feel as though you're in prison. Bound. The hymn writer said, when Satan binds our captive minds fast in his slavish chains. You see, the adversary, if he can, will try and keep every child of God in bondage and captivity. And there are times where the Lord permits him to keep us in bound. And then we're bound by sin and by sin oppressed. Bound by enemies. Within and without. Bondage. It's a very searching place. And they've been not only a few years, 70 years in Babylon. But now the Lord was to wonderfully turn away their captivity. So they were no longer in it. They were like really a bird let out of a cage. They were to be freed. And this is what the Lord was to do for them, you see. We read in the verse previous, and the sea coast shall be dwellings and cottages for shepherds and folds for flocks. It was a place of growth and of liberty and of prosperity. Well, may the Lord grant that those of you may feel bound and shut up tonight, cannot maybe speak, and that he comes and looses you. Think of what the Lord said to those around the grave of Lazarus when he raised the dear man from the tomb. Lazarus, remember, he came forth out of that tomb, but he was bound hand and foot. So he couldn't walk, he couldn't handle anything, he couldn't speak because his mouth was bound about with a napkin. But what did the Saviour say? Loose him and let him go. And oh, how sweet those words are. I remember the late Mrs. Mariner was so blessed, you know, under those words. A dear servant of God in Western Inn Chapel in her early days preached from them. Loose him and let him go. And she said, the Lord brought me right out of all the bondage I was in, and set me free. What did Jesus say? If the Son shall make you free, then are you free indeed. And this is where these dear people, this remnant, were to be favoured with. And now you can look at this text at your leisure, but you look at the blessings there are in it. I've only scratched around them tonight. But may the Holy Spirit sweetly apply the word and set many sinners free. And then you'll be able to praise and bless his holy name and crown him Lord of all.